Hi, everybody. It's good to see you tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm very excited about the message. We're on a path. God has us on a path because he loves us. If you could see it from my point of view, he has chosen us, this little band of people, because there's one thing that we carry that he absolutely loves. And, well, actually, two things. Is we're sincere about him, about being with him. This is not a magical thing for us. We know that we have to do our part. We're getting ready for him. And then also that we're hungry. We're hungry for the truth. We're living in a time, people, where deception is running rampant. It's very difficult sometimes to know what's really going on. But God has an answer for everything, amen? And he has an answer for us as we prepare for him, as we get ready for him. I am thinking that I'm going to see the rapture in my lifetime. And I'm excited no matter what. No matter what, we all get to see the Lord, amen? So let's go ahead and get started. Again, thank you so very much. I want you to know, people, that I never take it lightly when you show up. It's always been an honor for me. It's always been an honor for Pastor that you guys are hungry for God. You're sitting under the word. You want to grow. You want to be ready. And these are all things that God sees. He loves. He loves. And we're choosing the narrow path, not the wide entry. We want to make sure that we get to him in this day and hour. Amen. Praise God. So Swordswoman Seminar, March 2026. Let's go ahead and get started. Although this is tailored to helping the women to do everything that we need to do in this hour to get ready to become the real bride of Christ, all of these wonderful things, it is absolutely applicable to men as well. It is a process, and the process remains the same. The process is coming from God. He is the one that's dictating. Certainly for Pastor and I, what we teach, when we teach it, how we teach it, all of it. And so understand, please, that if you are a male, I salute you for your dedication and your hunger for God. The word is the word, and it applies to us. Even if I was covering Proverbs 31 right now, which we will later on, still there are concepts in Proverbs 31 that's geared to the Proverbs 31 woman that men can add to their lives. Amen. And I wish I was a fly on the wall when Pastor's teaching the men, because I know that the word is applicable to both male and female. And in the spirit realm, there is no male and female. Amen. So praise God. If you're here tonight and you're a male, I love you. And it shows a tremendous amount of maturity on your part. Amen. Praise God. So this scripture in Deuteronomy 31:6, do not fear the road ahead, for God walks with you. His hand will guide you. His grace will sustain you through every trial and every change. So right now, God is on this path with me of the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. His grace is more than sufficient. And it is, we all started by grace, and we're going to end in grace, because we need the grace of God, that benefit, that unmerited favor. We need it so that he can be patient with us. We can be patient with one another. We can be patient with him as he leads us and guides us. Amen. So it's by grace, people. You are his child, his little girl, his little boy. God, could he ever desert you or forsake you? And this is how I see the Lord holding, especially the women. We need that image in our heads that God absolutely loves us. He is gentle with us. He is tender with us. And he wants to help in every way he can as a good parent. And so Isaiah 46:4, this is my scripture, my favorite scripture forever. Especially now that I am in my 70s, Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will carry, and I will deliver you. So there is absolutely nothing to fear. All we need to do is follow God, and we're going to be stellar. We're going to be provided for. We're going to be covered in his grace and protection. We're going to make it, people, because of him. Amen. And this scripture literally confirms that God wants us to live a long life. He would have made it very specific if long life was only for one or two people. He has made a long life available to everybody. Amen. And there's several scriptures that confirm that. But I love the fact that, you know, even when our hair is completely gray, there'll come a time when Pastor Eva can no longer dye her hair and it will start turning gray, and so be it. Amen. But he knows the gray hair that I have and because of my age. But he's still caring us. He's still concerned about us. The same God who hung the stars knows your name. Think about that for a second. All of us are in awe. If you've got this much wisdom, if you've got this much depth to you in thought and philosophy about life, we look at creation and we are in awe. The mountains, the billions of stars, the sun, the moon, the ecosystem in the universe, the ecosystem on the earth, how a tree comes from a seed and it grows. And it's just awestruck things that God does every day. And this same God knows our name. Individually. Individually. God is brilliant. God is beyond our understanding. And he is the one that's orchestrating all of these quote-unquote last days for all of us. And if we are walking with the God that flung the stars into existence, commanded everything to be created through his mouth and his words, then we have nothing to fear. Amen. Nothing. I know that as long as I follow God, and I mean really follow God, people. Amen. Where he, like we've been teaching on Sundays, he is no longer an option to us. He's our life. God is our life. God is everything. Every day you ought to thank him for being alive. You know, look outside and thank him for the day. Everything is about God. In the evening when you're going to sleep, you say goodnight to him. You give a small prayer for tomorrow, and then you thank the Lord for what he did on this one day. Amen. Praise God. But he knows your name. He knows your name. I know he knows mine. The encouragement here, the picture, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that's Luke 1:45. God has made us many promises. And one of them is, he who endures till the end shall be saved. And so there will be a fulfillment of that. You just hang on. Do your best to overcome everything. Do your best to get strong now. And I don't mean physically. And of course, if you're strong physically, more power to you. I'm talking about in your soul more than anything. Our spirits were recreated. They are already made after God in the spirit realm. We have the spirit of God in us. And he is the spirit of power and might. Amen. Dunamis. Miracle working power. But for us to be strong in our souls is what we need to do. And this is why the teaching is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger on Sundays and on particular events like tonight. Relationship seminar the same, men's fellowship the same, is because God is seeking to empower us. People, please understand this. Why I'm so happy that you joined. Right now we have 18 people. That's awesome. Probably more because some of you are in couples and so on. But what's really beautiful to me is that every time you assemble around the word, whether it's your own personal time in the word, whether you're hearing a very powerful, right on scriptural message, or whether you're coming to church to any of the things that we hold, whatever it is that you're getting the word in, every time that you open up your Bible or you hear a powerful message that's scriptural, you're depositing seeds into you. You may have walked away thinking, okay, that was a good evening. I enjoyed it. It was okay. You don't understand. Show up and be hungry and say, Lord, whatever you have for me tonight is a seed, and it's going to go into me, and it's going to produce a harvest, a spiritual harvest. And that's how we get strong people. Amen. I've known many people in my lifetime, very, very poor people, very, very rich. I'm talking about rich, 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 rich people, multi-millionaires. And I can tell you that we're on equal footing. We are all basically afraid and weak in our minds. All of us. They could be dynamic business people that are multi-millionaires, but nobody is under control of everything in their lives. There are things that we cannot control, which is where God comes in. Amen. And I've learned the hard way, a long process for me, not to look at man in the natural. You may find someone that's really, you know, people respect them. They have a position in life, which is awesome. They worked for it. They earned it. But at the end of the day, if things start falling apart, as we've seen many, many times happen to people, the people that are strong are the people that are rooted in the Word of God. Amen? So 2 Samuel 22:33, God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes it entire, with integrity, with truth, and complete and whole. This is a great scripture for confession. You ought to write that down and take a picture of it, and then confess it over yourself every day. It'll take you, what, maybe 5 seconds to repeat that? And you're already planting the seed that God is my strength and power. Amen? Praise God. Psalms 138:8, the Lord will perfect, will bring to completion that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Here's another thing to be comforted about, is that God is perfecting us. If you have yielded to the mighty hand of God, if God is your Father King, if you believe the word, if you are getting ready for his return, then you've basically put yourself on this conveyor belt. And that conveyor belt is going to travel you through the process of what we all need to go through to transform, to become the new creation, the bride of Christ, the wise virgin, all of the things that we need to become now. Amen. But we rest in the joy, in the peace, that it is he that's going to bring it to completion. We just put ourselves there. We say, Lord, here I am. Work on me, Father. Get me ready, Father. Teach me what I need to know. Lead me, Father God. And there's so many beautiful scriptures confirming all this. And then just say, I am yours, Father God. I turn myself over to you. So do not forsake the work of your hands, Father. I always tell them that, Lord, you're stuck with me. I love you. I'm hanging on to his robe like this. Lord, I'm not going to go away from you. Not because I'm afraid, because I love you. And I'm so excited to see you and be with you and be in heaven, rejoicing with everybody that made it. Amen. John 10:10. I have come, Jesus said this, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So even as we're exiting out of this world, again, hopefully, in Jesus' name, through the rapture, even as we're transitioning out, we ought not to be hermits. We ought not to go hide in the mountains. We ought to be rejoicing that I can have a great life, an abundant life, now in this lifetime. But let's be careful, please. Understand that the abundant life, it was really twisted. You know, we became Christians, and I became a Christian in 1977, pastor in 1973. And, you know, by the time of, let's say, early 80s, that scripture and many others was turned into a prosperity thing. Now, God wants us blessed. He doesn't want anybody suffering. Dude, his streets are paved with gold. Amen. He is not cheap. He's very elaborate. He's very generous. But That abundant life is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That abundant life stretches out and affects your exterior. But the abundant life is when you truly are a person that's anchored in truth, that you are truly strong, you are truly powerful. Amen? And you live in peace. We live in peace in this house. It is the most beautiful thing ever, ever. We didn't always live in peace. We had the strife. We had the emotional immaturity. We had no idea what we were doing, being people, being married, being parents, being in ministry. So it created a tremendous amount of pressure on us, but we continued and we continued because we love him. We love him more than anything. And you know what? The day is here now where we live in a state of peace. I am not afraid of anything. Things come up, and for an instant, your flesh will react. It's uncertain what's going to happen, But instantly, I get a hold of that. And let me tell you, this is phenomenal to be able to be this kind of a human, so stable, so strong, so sure, when the whole world is falling apart. Amen? And that's what we want. We want to be the church of the Lord. Amen. Upon this rock, he's building his church. God will help every step of the way in your transformation journey. I want you to embrace this, please, more than anything else, that from now on until you hear the trumpet, and I pray you do, that you commit to a journey of transformation now. Bring it on, God. Bring it on. Because people, what we're leaving behind is nothing but corruption and decay. We've been programmed in our soul by the world. And Satan owns the world, the world system. And so we have to realize, and part of my job is to convince the body of Christ that there's a need to change. There's a need to transform now more than ever. And God's doing a quick work. It's not going to take him forever. He just speaks. And man, let me tell you, I spend my day is surrounded around God. I talk to him throughout my day. It's not something I put on. Even when I'm driving, I'm praying in the spirit. I'm talking to God. I'm meditating on scriptures. I'm already in heaven as far as I'm concerned. I've already transitioned there. You know, because the kingdom of God is within you. So I'm a citizen of his kingdom now. But I just have to turn my attention to God, and he starts speaking, showing me the words, showing me the scriptures, connecting the dots. It's really getting exciting, people. And I pray that you embrace this journey of transformation and get with the program spiritually so that God can begin to treat you now as his beloved child that he wants you to know everything. He wants to help you with everything. Amen. So I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. See, these are promises, people, that we should stand on every day. And these things, these scriptures, these promises, these benefits begin to erode any fear and uncertainty. Am I going to make it? Oh my God, how do I know if I'm ready? Oh my God, what if God is mad at me? What if I'm going to get left behind? What if I have to go through the tribulation? The 3.5 years of the bad part of the tribulation is going to be horrendous, people. And so, but when you look at these scriptures and you see a promise like this, then you rest in it and you say, Father, I refuse to be afraid now. Whether I'm going to make it or not, I just turn myself over to you and you're going to lead me. Amen. So I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you who are willing to learn, those who are willing to learn, with my eye upon you. So God's looking at us. He's releasing counsel. He's instructing us. He's teaching us. He's guiding us by the way that we should go. Amen. So no need to be afraid. No need to think you're going to be left behind. Start confessing these scriptures. Let them come alive to you. And believe it or not, well, I know you believe it because you're a Christian and you showed up tonight. I know that you're following God. But these promises come to pass in our lives when we believe them and we start confessing them. Amen? Praise God. Thus is the Lord who created you, and he who formed you, O daughter. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He created us. He formed us. He has called us by our name, people. He has redeemed us. And now he is telling us, you are mine. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Sometimes my husband will tell me that. He'll say, baby, you are mine. In fact, he just told me that just a little while ago. You're mine. To hear God tell us that, you are mine. To hear God say, Eva, you are mine. Rhonda, you are mine. Karen, you are mine. Lisa, you are mine. Valentin, you are mine. Faith, think about that. To be, the Lord wants to own us in the sense that you belong to me, you're mine. Isn't that phenomenal? Truths for our new foundation. We started off on this, just rushing through it. I believe this will be the last time I bring it up. It's just that we haven't gone back to the actual teaching for months. So number one, God wants you free. Free from everything, people. Free from yourself, first and foremost. We sometimes cause ourselves to trip up so much. Free from ourselves, free from the opinions of man. Oh my God, I haven't made much with my life, or I don't, you know, measure up to all these other people, or whatever. Free from fear, free from the past, free from the old man. God wants you free, but why? So you can choose. If you're not free, you're a slave. And a slave does not have a free will, people, by virtue of the fact that he's a slave, amen? So God has set you free, amen, so that you can choose. And choose what? Hopefully him. Hopefully life. Amen? Praise God. A lot of people, again, in the early 80s, took this whole concept of Deuteronomy 31:19. Or is it 30:19, Bill? 30:19. I know this. It's one of my favorite scriptures. So 30:19, you know, where he says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. A lot of people took that to mean I have free choice. I can do whatever I want. You know, certainly as long as I'm not hurting anybody, I can do whatever I want. No, I'll be honest with you. Remember, God told me you're going to start teaching in black and white. No more gray areas. So here's the thing, people, is that you have the freedom to choose, but to choose either God or Satan, life or death, blessing or cursing, healing or disease. That's what he wants us to choose. Not, I think I'm going to go and live in the French Riviera and, you know, buy a beautiful little mansion out there and just, no, we need to check with God if that's what he created us for. Amen. Number two, you become his child when you chose Christ and the new birth. So we studied that for a little while, that we are now his child. Unless you want out, if you don't want to be his child, then don't even show up to church, because what's the purpose of that? But if you want to be his child, then understand the minute you got born again, you became his child. Amen? That's very powerful, people. I am a child of God. And then God alone is everyone's true and genuine father. You got to start making, this is a big transition that we got to make. Is that God alone is my father. We had dads that gave us life, moms and dads. But God is our father. He is your dad's father. He is your father. He will be generations coming up, their father. Amen. Everybody was created by God. Number four, until we die to the old man, we cannot ever become the new creation. It's up to us to walk away from the old ways, from the world. If you're not saying goodbye to the world slowly but surely, you're not going to be ready, people. The world is a weight. Remember what it says in the Word in one of the epistles. I believe it's in Ephesians. It says, maybe not, but it says to put aside all the weights that easily beset, stumble, stop us from the race that's ahead of us. Amen. And the world is the biggest weight you will ever carry. You ought to be recognized by heaven, people, not by the world. If you're still seeking to get that approval from man, you need to stop that and start shifting over to getting an approval from God. Amen. Number five, he has provided us with every spiritual blessing that sets the atmosphere for Zoe life of God to be released into our lives. God cannot move in chaos, darkness, fear, or hatred. This is very important. The scripture is he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing under heaven. And the reason he's given us these spiritual blessings is to set the atmosphere, like peace, love, joy, all of these wonderful forces, so that God can move in our lives. It's very hard for God to shove his blessings. We're running around like a chicken without our heads and full of hatred and racism and strife and all of that. He can't do it, people. He gave us the forces to set that atmosphere, amen, for him to be able to move. Number six, your only chance to change and transform is now. We will forever be growing and evolving in heaven. It's an eternal process. I can't wait to see how God runs heaven up there. But why I say that the chance that you have to change and transform is now is because we're going to get judged based on how much we changed, how much we transformed while we are on the earth. Amen. It's going to be easy to change when we see God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the angels, all of this reality hits us, you know, and we're like, oh yeah, bring it on. But right now, this is why there's reward involved, is because you chose to change. You chose to transform against everything. Right now, people, there is such a dark, sinister push to quench the fire in our hearts for Christ. You have to fight to hang on to your walk. You have to stand firm and say, if everybody walks away from God and I'm all by myself in some forest because nobody is around me, can help me or whatever, I will never leave Christ. Amen. And so realize that your time to transform is now. It is right now. Not tomorrow, not, oh, well, I'm starting to work on it. I'm starting to, no, now. Make sure that if you find a scripture that really resonates in your spirit, that you say, you know what, God, you're speaking to me right now. I'm going to pay attention to this and I'm going to start doing this. And that's how we change people. That's how Pastor and I changed. You know, when the word tells you not to be in strife, you can't argue with that. You can't say, well, you know, God, I'm trying. I really am. But my husband knows how to push every button, or my family, oh my God, all the trauma that we have and everybody just is so abusive to one another. No. You take it upon yourself and you say to yourself, no, this is not negotiable. Honestly, people, I'm just going to tell you the truth. The word was never negotiable. Never. The word is the rule of law in God's kingdom. We gave ourselves the option. We created our own reality. We live in the gray. Excuse me. So changing and transforming needs to take place here on the earth, because this time on the earth is for you to prove who you've chosen to be. You don't understand, Pastor Abba, you don't understand. I want to be this man of God, and I really want to be strong, but my wife, oh my gosh, no. Overcome. Overcome. I'm going to give you guys a little secret. Most of you are in relationships or you're married. Guess what? From here on out, your walk is between you and God. Not between you and the politicians in our land. Not between you and your husband or your wife. Nothing that anybody does comes into play in the eyes of God. He just needs you to do the word. Amen? Praise God. So why is this message critically important? Because the life you are living right now is equally yoked to who you are right now on the inside, in your inner man. This is very important, people. We cannot bear this beautiful fruit, this beautiful works for ourselves, for God, certainly, for our loved ones. Unless you've changed the inner man. If you're still, you know, let's say from 1 to 12 grade, you know, in school, let's say you're still on grade 3, then you're going to bear a grade 3 fruit. Go and look at a person in third grade. They don't know much. They don't bear much. They need a lot of taking care of. They're always afraid. They're emotionally immature. So we have to grow, because that life, it's indiscriminate. If you are already on the 12th level and you're living like that and you're behaving like that, your life rises up to meet that. You are equally yoked. Jeez, my life is empty, man. There's very little joy, and you know, we hardly laugh, and you know, it's a bit of a drudgery. Grow! Your life will match you. It'll match you, people. Number 8, when it's all said and done, how our lives ended up is completely in the power of each and every one of us. And that's how God sees it, and that's what the word tells us, and that's what works. When you realize, oh my gosh, the end of my life and how it all turned out is dependent on me. Not anybody else. Not anybody else. Amen. We cannot use people, especially now in this hour, as an excuse for why we're not growing. You got to throw everything off your shoulders and stand naked before your God. Naked meaning stripped of all the excuses, stripped of everything, your past, your present, whatever. And stand before him and say, God, here I am. Amen. Number 9, we must become the bride of Christ, the wise virgin, in order to go in the rapture. God is not mocked. We're going to talk a bit about the bride of Christ tonight. God is not mocked, people. There is no way that someone can just go off and do their thing and get bitter and cynical about everything that's going on or whatever, and they think that I'm going to be okay and God has to take me in the rapture. No, he doesn't. He is coming for a holy bride. Our time on the earth is for becoming the new creation. Through the Holy Spirit, God has enabled us. We are able. He's enabled us to bear perfect spiritual fruit, to become the church that is established in absolute truth, and to be transformed into something gloriously divine and astonishing. I want to be astonishing in a good way. You can be astonishing in a bad way. No, I want to be gloriously divine and astonishing. Amen. When God gets done with us, people, we will be fearfully and wonderfully made in the Spirit. Glory to God. So God has empowered us to become a brand new us. Some of you need to understand, you have to go through that very narrow door. And as you go through it, you're going to realize, I ain't all that. We think we are. We look around and bestow everything that we have, or the beautiful wife, or the beautiful husband, or the whatever it is, the beautiful truck, whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself. You have to understand that the best thing, the most wonderful news, is that you can become a brand new you in Christ. Amen? We're supposed to be. Now everything, it's 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and now all things are of God. Amen? So we are becoming a brand new creature. I'm excited. I have to be honest with you, and I say this with all humility, and I can say it boldly because it isn't me at all, at all. I love what I'm becoming. I love what God is doing in my life. And it's all internal, deeply internal. He's working in there, man, shifting things, maneuvering things, bringing things up. Eva, did you know this was in here? Oh my God, it's like cleaning out a closet. Oh my God, look what I found, Eva, from back in 1965. Do you remember that? And God is just helping me so very much. And what we're becoming is a natural, organic expression of the spiritual man. It should be so natural, people. Oh my God, it's getting easier and easier. In the past, there was a time when if you came against me, I would retaliate. Like you. And then there came a time when if someone came against me, I would get hurt. And like a little crab, I would hide away for a while. Now, because of what God is doing with me and showing me, he is opening up. Talk about being woke. I am really woke spiritually. You know, it's amazing. And now, because of what I'm becoming, someone comes against me and I literally say, you know what, Lord? There's still a work in progress. Because if they knew what a waste of time it is to get into strife or go and correct others or judge them or whatever, they would never do it. So I actually now have compassion on them. And that's people, I've grown. I've come a ways. And I intend to go all the way because I want to be a beautiful bride for Christ. Praise the Lord. Our thoughts, our speech, our behavior, and our life will start flowing out of our new identification and out of the true nature of a daughter of the King. We are sons and daughters of the King. Man, in the old days, that, especially in the old days, that meant a lot. If you were a son or a daughter of the King, you carried incredible importance. You had tremendous place. You were bestowed with dignity and honor because of your lineage. Well, guess what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is our new identification. He is my Father. He is my Father. And I'm not going to be afraid of him. I'm not going to feel like, Lord, do I really belong here? Am I worthy? No. Oh my gosh, I've shared this before. I was praying one day, many years ago, we had a little ministry at UCI, Brothers and Sisters in Christ. And I was preparing for that, and I was just sobbing before the Lord because he was just showing me about his love. I was teaching on love. And I started crying because I had never known this kind of love ever, you know, and it was so beautiful and so pure. And I said, Lord, oh my Lord, when I see you in heaven, the very first time I see you, I'm going to run up to you, Lord, and I'm going to hug you, and you can't stop me. I'm going to wrap my arms around you. And he said, no, Eva, I'm going to run to you. We are family. God is our Father, and we are his children. And it's time we owe it to him to stand up in the honor and the dignity of what we are. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Almighty God is our Father. He is my Father. Our thoughts, our speech, our behavior, and our life will start flowing out of our new identification and out of the true nature of a daughter of the King. It is precisely and uniquely through these spiritual blessings and directives. What we're receiving right now are blessing us because, man, they're helping us. They're explaining things, all of these things. But they're also directives. They're guiding us. They're moving us forward in a certain direction. Amen? The bride is described. Now, listen. This is who you are. Now. The only thing is that we've got two-thirds to work on. He did all of this for us in the spirit realm. She is stunning, noble, gracious, gentle, amazing, powerful, beautiful, magnificent, fearless, quiet-spirited, authentic through and through. And the list goes on. This is what we are. If we would groom the spirit man and stop focusing on the image of the old man, we would start exuding these qualities. They would start flowing out of us naturally. Stunning, noble, gracious. Glory to God. Becoming the bride of Christ. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And you're going to find out that all of this is talking about spiritual adornment. For a woman in Peter, 2 Peter 3, I believe, he talks about the meek and quiet spirit that is very precious in the sight of God. When you attain that, when you are not moved, you're not so, man, somebody makes you a little upset and you get all worked up. If something's not sure and secure for you, you get all afraid. When you start embracing and living out of that meek and quiet spirit, you become very precious in the sight of God. You're adorned. There's another beautiful jewel on your crown, or maybe a beautiful jewel on your vestige, what you're going to be wearing. We prepare ourselves to be the bride spiritually. That has nothing to do with the natural. Amen? We are engaged in natural dynamics of life. This is what happens to all human beings. Day and night, all day long, this is what we're living out in our lives, people. Plant a thought, reap words. Let's say you hear the news. And you say, that's right, I believe that, that's what's going on, especially politically. Oh my God, that's such a serious landmine. Oh, I believe that, that's what they're doing. Oh my gosh, guess what? You're going to start reaping words. You're going to start speaking according to the thought you planted. So plant a thought, reap words. Every time you think something, eventually, sometimes right away, you're going to start speaking according to the thought that you planted. In other words, your words are the fruit, the byproduct of a thought. And then plant words. So plant a thought, reap words. Plant your words, you're going to reap actions. For instance, you know, you plant a thought. You know what? This year I'm going to get in shape. And you start saying it. I'm going to the gym, guys. I got a membership. You start speaking the thought that you planted. And then you plant those words. It's like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the gym. Those words are going to cause you to act. Amen? And then you plant that action over and over again, like going to the gym, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to the gym. You reap a habit. I hope you're keeping up with this. Can somebody give me a thumbs up if this is making any sense? Yay! Thank you, Rhonda. So you plant your words, you reap actions. You plant your actions, and before you know it, you formed a habit. Thank you, Jill. Then you plant a habit, what you're repeating and repeating and repeating. Before you know it, you've already reaped a character. You are building a character by your habits. And then plant a character, because people eventually, our character is going to be the end product of all of this. And according to your character, you're going to be reaping a destiny. A destiny. You know, let's go back to the person saying, I think I'm going to get in shape. You know, you think about it, you're like, you know, I'm kind of getting a little out of shape here. So I'm going to go, you thinking about this. Then your words, guys, guess what? Or you might tell a friend at work, hey, guess what? I think I'm going to start working out. Your thought is creating the words. Then you start planting those words. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym. Before you know it, you're going to find yourself in the gym. And then as you continue going to the gym, planting those actions, planting the, you're reaping a habit. Now you're becoming a healthy person. Amen. A stronger person. Then you plant that habit over and over again. And now you're reaping a character of what? Self-discipline, self-control, of wisdom, of power, of strength. And then you plant that character because now you're continuing to do it. And that character is reaping a destiny. What's that destiny? You're going to be a much healthier person that lives a longer life. Amen? I want to live a long life, but not if I'm a casualty to my people. I refuse to be a liability. If I can't take care of myself, I don't want to be here. Why would I do that to my loved ones? So I better take care of myself. Amen? Now, for the believer, we become aware of these five. Oh, by the way, guys, this is exactly what happens in the spirit realm. I have taught this way back many, many, many years, probably in the mid-80s, early 90s. And the Holy Spirit brought it up to me today when I was preparing this. And he said, Eva, I need you to explain that this is what they're doing every day. It works the reverse. You know what? I hate my husband. Let's just go with it, okay? I hope nobody's doing that. You might plant a thought, I hate my husband. You know, you look at him and you're like, oh my God, what made me marry him? Oh Lord, what was I thinking? I made Pastor laugh. But, so you plant that thought. It's like, God, I don't know if I want to be here forever. Oh my God, it's getting claustrophobic. And so you plant that thought. Before you know it, you're going to speak it. It's like, oh my God, you're weird. Oh my God, oh, I'm going to go to the other room and watch TV. Oh, you're so strange. You're going to start speaking it. And then those words that you're constantly saying and speaking are going to reap actions. You're going to get up and go to the other room. Or maybe you're going to go out with the girls because you don't want to go out with him. You understand what I'm saying? It can work positive and negative, spiritually and carnally. So for a believer, we become aware of these five elements of life. Please become aware of it. Take a picture of this and don't forget it. Look at this scripture. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorphosed, changed, transfigured, into the same image from glory to glory. And glory here means dignity, glorious, and honor, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What this is saying, people, is that just like these are steps, I planted a thought, now I'm reaping words, I planted words, now I'm reaping actions. That's in the spirit realm, you can look at it as going from glory to glory to glory. We are literally building and constructing our spiritual lives, our physical lives, our earthly lives, our families by these five things here, these dynamics of all human beings. Very simple, but extremely complex. Trust me, you have to start catching your thoughts. You have to start catching your words. You have to be aware of your actions and a habit. Be aware of the habit because it's going to build a character for you if you are not careful. Amen? And start catching yourself. It's like, okay, I want to say something really bad right now to that person. But if I do, then it's going to make... It starts with the thought, I don't like that person. I really want to tell them off. You persist in that, you're going to start speaking it. And then you're going to take action and go tell them. Amen? So please understand, it's the same thing spiritually. You know, that's how we change people. This other scripture, Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on. Say this with me. I press on. And that word to press on means to pursue and press forward. You push yourself forward. I'm pushing into this thing. That's what I'm doing. I am so excited. I'm pushing in and pushing in and pushing into the spirit realm more and more. So not that I have already attained or am already perfected, none of us are, but I press on, pursue, press forward, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. Amen? We want to keep pushing forward. Just keep pressing. I don't care that I'm not perfect. I don't care. People, nothing, I'm learning so fast. That nothing outside of this little body here, this little mind here, none of it matters. What's mattering right now is our inner man. That's where we have to work. It is when we're intentional with these five dynamics that we just went over that we begin to prepare. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Men, women, children, old people, we're all the bride of Christ if we want to be. You can't call yourself the bride of Christ if you have not made yourself ready. You have to get ready. You have to get ready now. You know, God will have mercy on you if it's like right before he comes. Let's say he came tomorrow night and we're barely learning these things. You know, Pastor Eva's teaching you as fast as she can, as she's learning it. Pastor Bill, certainly, we're leading you, we're guiding you towards that. But let's say this is your second day in it and you're willing to transform. You're willing and you believe all these things. God will have mercy on you because at least you put your hand to the plow and you start it. You started moving forward. Anybody that puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. So we just want to put our hand to the plow and keep going. Keep going forward. Amen? Sow for your character. Sow for your words. Sow for your actions. Sow for your destiny. Praise God. But just how on earth can we get there? I'm so glad you asked. The main point of this message, God makes it abundantly clear that no matter who we are or what our beginnings were. God makes it abundantly clear that no matter who we are or what our beginnings were, no matter how abundant or lacking our existence was, no matter what harm or traumatic experience we went through, God has rebooted our life. He has given us a brand new life and identity. Gosh, man, we get a second chance, a second life. He has given himself to us, and he has completely empowered us through the Holy Spirit to get the rest of our being transformed as well. Our job is to bring our lives into such a place where everything is of God now. That's our goal. That's the end game. So start asking yourself, hey, is me yelling at my family and my kids, is that of God? No, then I'm going to stop it. Hey, is this me buying a large pizza and eating it all by myself, is that of God? No, not really. You know, maybe 3/4. Okay, in order to build our life spiritually, we must turn to the greatest virtue, which is wisdom. Wisdom comes when we study, learn, practice, and experience. No one ever became excellent by chance. That's what we're hoping. Maybe I'll just fall into it. Maybe I'll just wake up one day and, oh my God, it happened. I'm ready. I'm the bride of Christ. It's not going to work that way. Amen? There's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. You do the work and you get there. Amen? This is not magic. Nothing about God is magic. Amen? Nothing, people. So no one ever became excellent by chance. If you want to be courageous and disciplined and ethical, you have to do the work to become just that. I was telling my husband and my son, we fellowship around the word, especially when we're eating dinner. And people, I am changing. I am becoming more and more principally driven. I used to be moved by people. And we brought a really good balance, Pastor and I, because he's very principally driven. In other words, this is what God says and this is what we're going to do. But as time is drawing closer and closer, I'm changing. I'm beginning to fight for principle. It's the principle of the thing that matters, amen? So if we're going to be ethical, if we're going to be disciplined, if we're going to be godly, we have to start working to become that. It's not just going to happen. I'm just going to go for a few more minutes. The process of spiritual evolution. Number one, become honest and accountable for your spiritual life. You know what we've all done? All of us. We all relied on our pastors and the ministers to bring us to that place of spiritual evolution. I'm going to go to church and they're going to teach things and before I know it, I'm going to be changing. And no, that's not how it works. We give you the tools to do it. We give you the word. We show you how to do it. We are examples of that. But it is up to you to become accountable for your own spiritual life. When you get to heaven, you can't say, if God says, oh my God, Eva, what happened to you? Why are you still like a third grader in the kingdom of God? I can't say, but Lord, I sat under Bill's ministry all the days of my life. I don't know what he did. Maybe you should talk to him. He's not going to allow any of that, people. Any of that. So let's read the scriptures. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You have to make a choice. Am I going to be spiritually minded or fleshly minded? You know what we've done? We put one foot in the spirit realm, but very close to the border. Here's the line dividing the spirit and the flesh, and we're like barely put a little foot over right there. We didn't take a quantum leap spiritually. We did it just right there. You know, hey, I got born again. I go to church sometimes. So at least I have some spiritual stuff. And then we took the other foot and we planted it firmly deep into the world. And we've lived that way. Look at how you can't get any clearer than this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Worship. Praise. The Word. Fellowship. Church. Set your mind on those kinds of things. Oh, we couldn't go to church because, you know, Aunt Chuchi had her little birthday party and she gets really mad when we don't go. So I'm sorry, Pastor Eva. Peace out. We were out there. We were still loving people. We were kind of doing the Word. So it's going to be okay. I am telling you, people, we're in the day and hour where God is not an option. Go to church first and then go see Aunt Chuchi. Amen? Praise the Lord. Romans 12:2. And number one, do not be conformed to this world. Don't adjust yourself to the world. Amen? Do not be conformed to this world. But, number two, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where do we have to transform? Our minds. You know what we've done? The poor spirit. Hey, I'm born again. My spirit's recreated. I know that my spirit comes from God, so I've got it made. Wrong. You have your body and your mind to work on. God wants honesty. He wants sincerity. He wants proof that you want to be with him. So he has given you your mind and your body to work on, to get ready. He did the hardest part, and that was the miraculous birth of from being spiritually dead to becoming spiritually alive, to becoming from going from a child of the devil to becoming a child of God. So, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart belong to man. The preparation belongs to you. It belongs to you. Become fertile ground. Have a noble heart where the seed goes in and it bears a hundredfold. I think I'm growing fast right now like crazy because I am after a noble heart. I don't want any darkness in me. I don't want any ambiguity. I don't want any duality. One day I'm with God. One day I'm acting bad. I'm trying to bring those two into peace. Which, by the way, peace, there's shalom and then there's irene. And irene means to be set at one again. Right now we're schizophrenic. We're schizophrenic. Well, I'm a Christian and, you know, I hope I go to heaven. But, I don't know how to walk in love. And then, but I love the flesh, man. I love being popular. I like partying. I like getting stinking drunk. We've got all this duality going in us, people. The preparation of the heart belongs to man. I'm going to stop here.